Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Got back kind of late last night. I was in Kansas City at a Bible teachers conference there. Got to visit with my sister, who is in a convent there. She's a nun. There's Gabby. Speaking of nuns. Just kidding. They say people from this generation that aren't involved in any particular religion, they call them nuns. N-O-N-E-S, right? That's the thing. Have you heard that terminology? Yeah. Okay. None of the above, you know, they're religious, but none of the above. Never mind, getting on to our sermon. All right, our celebration for this week, of course, is time to get baptized last Sunday. That was a great thing there. Awesome. But we're in our sixth sermon from the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to have probably two more. Yeah. All right, and we've seen the theme of Deuteronomy, which is God wanting us to have that covenant loyalty with Him. Deuteronomy is a second reading of the law. And basically what God is saying to us in Deuteronomy is, I've always been faithful to you. I've blessed you, and I want to bless you more. But I simply want you to faithfully obey and be loyal to me. And our theme passage, which hopefully a lot of you could say by heart right now. Should we give it a try? Oh, sure we should. I suppose I could make it easy. No, it's not there. Okay, well, great then. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's that hesed, that covenant love. Last week, our sermon was titled Summing It Up. And so basically, you could break the book of Deuteronomy down into kind of three parts. The first 11 chapters where Moses is giving these admonitions, and he's telling the story, and he's telling them, you know, so many things about, you know, men should not live on bread alone, and the idea of being a disciple and relying on him, all this stuff. And then he's summing it all up. Then the middle section is chapter 12 through 26, which is his rereading of the law. And then the last section we'll do next week. We're going to start it tonight, this morning, where basically he's going to put it all together. All right, so last week we saw, basically, to sum it up, basically summarizing what I've said so far, Moses says, we need to fear God, and we need to walk humbly with our God in humble obedience to Him. And then Moses reminded us how incredibly, ridiculously, insanely blessed we are that God chose us out of all the nations. He says, because of this, I want you to do two things. I want you to circumcise your hearts. Humbly submit to Him. And he asks us to take care of the disadvantaged. Basically, remember, what he says is, I want you to treat the people around you the way I treated you. You were a slave, so I freed you from slavery. You were a foreigner, so I took you in and made you one of my own. You were not blessed, and I blessed you. So he asked them to take care of the disadvantaged, especially the foreigners, the orphans, the widows. And we talked about taking care of the literal foreigners. That's a thing in our society to think about right now. But also to the foreigners to the covenant. Those who are not in God's kingdom at this point. So now, we're going to zip forward all the way through that entire chapter 12 through 26 section. And then we're going to this morning. Why am I saying that's twice I said tonight? I don't know. Today's lesson is titled Blessings and Curses. We're going to do something a little bit different today. You'll see. But before we do that, I'm going to spend a few minutes covering some highlights, just a few little highlights in that rather long section of, what is it, 14 chapters, where he kind of does a rereading of the law. So we're going to take a few snippets from there before we get to the main text of our sermon, which is going to be in Deuteronomy 27. So I'm mainly going to read and make a few comments here and there.
For example, let's read Deuteronomy 12:3, which is going to be a nice reminder. And one of the things that Moses does a lot in Deuteronomy is he repeats himself many times because he knows that his hearers need to hear a few things again and again. And one of the things we need to hear again and again is Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 3, where he says, break down those altars. Remember that? Smash those sacred stones. Burn the Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. Remember that? Mm-hmm. We're being reminded here to deal radically with sin. And those things which will entrap us, we need to remove them from our life. Okay. Just a little comment there. And let's get down to Deuteronomy 12, verse 8 and 9. Another little snippet that I think is worth reading. And by the way, what you ought to do is read the whole section, yes. Deuteronomy 12 through 26. Yep. Probably should do that. But anyway, says, you're not to do as we do here today, everybody doing as they see fit. A little bit of indictment on the people there. Since you have not yet reached the resting place in the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. Have we yet reached that resting place that the Lord God is giving us? No, we have not. So what's he tell us to do then?
Endure.
No, he says, don't do everything as you see fit. In other words, we need to be willing and able to work together. All right, we live in a very, very individualistic society. And in our society, telling people what they ought to be doing is like the worst possible thing you can do. You know, don't tread on me. All right? But God is reminding us through Moses that Christianity is not a free-for-all. Mm. We have to work as a body, as a family. And I'm telling you, I've been all over the world, and Americans, there's other countries that are almost as bad as us, but Americans are really, Australians, they're even worse than us. Impossible. But, and it's not that we need people to be always telling us what to do, but we need to be willing to go where, for example, the leaders are asking us to go, or just generally where we're going. So it's not like we're an army marching in step. I know I may never, but you know.
Yes.
I know. No, but we are a family.
Yes.
All right, a little reminder, just a snippet, right? Just pull this right out of, it's right there, which is, hey, brother and sister, we should not do as we do here, everyone doing as they see fit. So, for example, I'm going to step on some toes. Show up on time.
Oh. Gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Et cetera. All right. Oh, that was a tough one to get out there since there's a few people are here late, you know? I love you. I'm not looking at anybody right now. Whoever it is, I love you. I totally do. But that's why I'm saying that. All right. Here's another snippet. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 9. This is an interesting little thing here that Moses throws in. Actually, God throws in. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if that sign or wonder spoken of takes place, this guy does something amazing. I had this vision and blah, blah, speaking in tongues and healing and whatever stuff, you know what I'm talking about. But the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Not this trickster doing cool miracles. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be, we are not going to put this part in, all right, we're not going to, this part here. This is the old covenant, all right? I'm going to read it. I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying, this is Old Testament, all right? That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. If your very own brother or your son or daughter or wife you love, or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us go and worship other gods. Gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other. Do not yield to them or listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. Whew, okay. So what's the message here in a New Testament context where we do not do violence of any sort? What did Jesus say to do to our enemies? Love them, okay? In that context, basically, we're being told here, watch for false doctrine. And again, it's not, you know, there's false teachings that aren't essential that, you know, we can cooperate with people on a lot of things, but certain things like who God is.
Yep.
And who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. All right. And how we're saved. Those are some things that we probably, no matter what somebody does or says or how impressive they sound and how many experiences they've had, and again, taking this in context, the thing he's saying to do this for is if somebody's calling you to worship another god. It's not like they're calling you to, I don't know, maybe wear clothes with two materials or something like that. You know, it's a relatively minor thing, you know what I'm saying? So on points of essential doctrine, what does the Bible say? Don't listen to that person and don't follow that person and probably don't go to their church. Probably not. Even if they perform miracles or do great works. And again, I'm not talking about minor issues like maybe they have a different teaching on, I don't know, the second coming of Jesus or I don't know how often you should take the Lord's Supper. We, you know, we're, no. You don't have to agree with people on that, but you don't, that's not what we're talking about. So in this case, like I said, he's telling them to follow other gods. And, you know, people say, oh, the Lord told me to tell you this. In fact, this actually happened like a year and a half ago. We were on campus and these two women come up to our table and say to one of our members, hey, the Lord, I had a dream, and the Lord told me blah, blah, blah. And you're so awesome, and you're going to blah. It just totally appealed to her pride of herself, and then took her aside and told her a false theology about Jesus, that he's not a separate person. This is a blatant heretical teaching. This is a church in town I'm not going to name. And then they told her she was lost, that she was taught false doctrine. And they told her she wasn't saved and had to get baptized again. All right? So if somebody starts telling you something like that, all right, what did the Bereans do?
They checked the scriptures
to find out if it's true. All right? So that's going to happen, young Christians. It's going to happen, young Christians. Somebody's going to teach a doctrine. Again, if it's not an essential teaching in Christianity, all right, yeah, but we're talking about who Jesus is, which is what happened in this case. All right, and how we're saved, right? That's a big one. There's a lot of false teachings on that out there. All right, so what he suggests is keep his commandments, right? He says, don't listen to that person. All right. He says, you know, verse 4, keep his commandments. He says, even if a family member, I'm not going to name churches here. That's just against my idea of what we need to be doing here. All right? I'm not going to condemn groups here publicly in this place. But there are people that call themselves Christians we know that have very, very false concept of who Jesus is. Okay, you might be going through your list. All right. Again, I'm not going to label them here. But we have to develop some common sense. So even if a family member, a parent, a wife, or whatever, says don't yield to them, don't listen to them, show them no pity. Now, what I would say to that is show that doctrine no pity, all right? Show them plenty of pity, okay? But don't show that doctrine any pity. Got it?
Got it.
Little snippet, but But it's right there, and I thought I should mention it, because it's right there in the Bible. All right, and then we're in Deuteronomy 14. We saw about loving the foreigner in Deuteronomy 15. There should be no poor among you. And again, loving the foreigner. You were treated as slaves, so be nice to the slaves. In Deuteronomy 16, where he says, be joyful at your festivals and all that kind of stuff. I'm already in Deuteronomy 18. How's that for five chapters of the Bible? All right, Deuteronomy 18. But I'm going to stop in Deuteronomy 18, because this is pretty awesome, actually. All right. This is a messianic prophecy, one of my favorite messianic prophecies. And really, I don't know how it even fits into the rest of Deuteronomy, but it's just so cool, so we're going to read it. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. There's a lot of sorcery and divination going on at Merced College and at UC Merced. A lot of that kind of stuff. Okay? But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so, in case you're wondering, okay? The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Like who? Like Moses. A prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites, you must listen to him. So, by the way, don't say this out loud, because over half of you know the answer to this already, so, you know. So who's this prophet like Moses? Who's this prophet like Moses that God says we're supposed to listen to? I can tell Gabby knows the answer. She's there. I'm smart. I know the answer to this one. All right. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see that great fire anymore, or we will die. They were scared. They didn't want to come into the presence of God. They didn't want to see God. They're like, no. He says, the Lord said to me, what they say is good. Good plan. I'm going to raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses. From among their fellow Israelites, I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But, similar to Deuteronomy 13, a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I've not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. So who's this prophet like Moses? Well, our friends, I'm going to name a church right now. Our Muslim friends say that's Muhammad. Just so you know, this is their favorite thing, proving that the Bible prophesies.
Wow.
All right, there's a few problems with that. Like, can somebody throw it out there? What's wrong with it? Yeah.
He wasn't a Jew.
He's not an Israelite. Okay, that's a problem right there, okay? Not an Israelite, but so many other things that I won't even bother to mention, because that's not even worth talking about, really, because the bottom line is, this is a prophecy about Jesus, right? And in verse 16, the people said, we don't want to hear God's voice. We definitely don't want to see God face to face. So God says, I'm going to fix that problem. John 1:18, right? No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, has made him known, right? God says, I'm going to send someone. You're going to be able to see God. And I'm going to speak to you directly. Right? Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke through various prophets and all this sort of stuff. But in these last days, he spoke to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. All right. What will Moses be like? Well, he tells us he's going to be... I'm sorry, what will the Messiah be like? This prophet is going to be like Moses. Can you remember some of the ways that Jesus and Moses are similar? Because both, when they were a child, a prideful, arrogant king wanted to kill a Jewish baby who was like totally out of power, and instead he killed a bunch of boys? Both were at the right hand of the king on high and walked out of the palace, if you will, to come and live around a bunch of slaves, right? Moses and Jesus both did that. Both went down into Egypt. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. Moses led the people out of slavery in Egypt. Jesus leads us out of slavery in Egypt. They were baptized into Moses in the Red Sea. We're baptized into Jesus. Moses gave them bread. Jesus, the bread of life. Moses gave them water. Jesus gives us water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, prophet like Moses. Okay, great. Our last snippet. Deuteronomy 22. Thank you, Michael. Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 11. I'm just pulling this up because there's a few things in Deuteronomy that are like, huh? Really? What's that about? Here's one of them. So I thought I'd just explain it, okay? So this is not a preaching point. Well, it is a preaching point. Yeah, it is. You'll see.
Let's do it.
So Deuteronomy 22, verse 9 through 11. Do not plant two kinds of seed in your vineyard. And by the way, in the equivalent commandment in Leviticus, he says don't place the same kind of seed in your field.
Yeah.
So your grain. So you don't plant barley and wheat together or something like that. It's like, why does God care about which grain I plant in my field? And you can buy, by the way, you can buy in the store these seeds. They'll give you like mixture of seeds, and that's like heresy, or you know, you're gonna, all right. We'll get there. All right. Do not plant two kinds of seeds in your vineyard. If you do, not only crops you plant, but also the fruit of the vineyard will be defiled. Do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. And thus the picture behind me. Do not wear clothes of wool and linen woven together. Why would God care if you mix wool and linen when you make your clothes? By the way, the answer is God couldn't care less about that. So, what's this about? All right. So what this is about, and the Jews figured this out. The rabbis knew exactly what God's talking about. He's talking about being holy and being separate and not mixing with the profane. God doesn't particularly care if you wear 20% cotton, 80% nylon clothes. All right, so don't worry about that. I'm sure some of you right now are probably wearing, you know, God doesn't care about that. But what God does care about is he calls us out from the nations, right? He says, do not marry them. All right, what's it say in 2 Corinthians 6? Do not be yoked with unbelievers. And when he said, do not be yoked with unbelievers, I'm pretty sure Paul was thinking of this passage in Leviticus. So, it's not about mixing grains. It's not about mixing materials. It's not about those things. What it's about is keeping the holy separate from the profane. It's about us being called out from the world because we are a holy people. We are a set-apart people. We are distinct in many ways. And as disciples, when you read that interesting passage, just realize that God's saying to you, please remain distinct from the world. Actually, not please. Just do it. It's a commandment. All right, now let's get to our text for the day. Phew. Okay, good. So, going back to Deuteronomy 11, I'm not going to reread that, but maybe a somewhat obscure point in our sermon last week, but Moses said, when you get to the land, go to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and on the top of Mount Gerizim, pronounce all the blessings on the people. And then from Mount Ebal, they have sent six tribes to each mountain. From that mountain, declare all the curses to God's people. All right, he said that. And then here, in chapter 27, 2 through 4, he says it again. He says, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write in them all the words of this law. And that's not just the Ten Commandments. That's all of it. All those hundreds of laws. And he just listed a whole bunch of them. All right. Write on them all the words of this law when you've crossed over to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And when you've crossed over the Jordan, set up these stones on Mount Ebal. Now, what doesn't say here is also on Mount Gerizim. I don't know, for some reason it doesn't mention that here. As I commanded you today, and coat them with plaster. And in fact, if you go to, let me see, Joshua verses 8:30-34, they actually do this. So they enter the promised land there in the area that's now known as Shechem, which is between the two hills, Gerizim and Ebal. And then Moses, and then the priests read all these blessings to the people, and he read all these curses to the people. So we're going to do that. We're going to reenact that right now. In fact, Michael's going to get up there, and he's going to read the blessings. Lucky Michael, he gets to read the blessings. Because guess what I get to do? I get to read the curses. So we're going to actually do this. And Michael is going to have some zeal, some punch here in reading these things. And I just want you to imagine that you're a Jew who's been, you know, some of you as much as 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and God has given you the promised land. It's like, yeah, it's awesome. And God's saying, all right, but this is a covenant. And what he's doing in Deuteronomy 27 is he's saying, this is the covenant I'm making with the second generation. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this. And after that, we'll take a little bit of feedback. I'm going to ask you, what did you notice about these blessings and about these curses? Maybe how they're similar to each other, how they're different in kind of the content. All right, so, Michael, you're going to do Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. I think it's through 14, yeah. He's going to read the blessings, and I'm going to read the curses. So he's up. Oh, wait, let's do the picture here. He's up on Mount oh, where's the picture? There it is. He's up on Mount Gerizim, and I'm up on Mount Ebal. All right, go for it.
All right. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. One, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven.
Yeah, all right.
Zane, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns.
My barns?
And on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Cassie, the Lord will establish you as his holy people.
Come
on. As he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend many nations, but will borrow from none.
Awesome.
The Lord will make you the head, not the tail.
Come on.
Jaime, yeah. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top.
Never
at the bottom.
Never.
So church, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them.
Amen, that people said. Amen. Now we're up on Mount Ebal. So there's six tribes over here. All right. So again, we're going to take some comment from the crowd. If you notice some distinctions, some similarities. Okay, good. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow his commands, Jaime, Stephanie, and who else did he pick? Zane? All right. I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. You'll be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you've done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with a wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, with plague you will until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but you will flee from them in seven. And you'll become a thing of horror to all the nations. All the kingdoms on the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds and the wild animals. There'll be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with the tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and rape her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you, and it will not be returned, even though you never yoked him with an oxen. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. The Lord, verse 36, the Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or to ancestors. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You'll become a thing of horror, a byword, and an object of ridicule among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you. You'll sow much seed in the field, but you'll harvest little because the locusts will devour it. You'll plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you'll not drink the wine or gather the grapes because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout the country, but you'll not use the oil because the olives will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and the crops of your land. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, you'll be the tail. All these curses will come on you. They'll pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commandments and decrees he gave you. They'll be a sign and a wonder to you because, to your descendants forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God and joyfully and gladly in the time of your prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and dire poverty, you'll serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down. And by the way, that's exactly what happened. That eagle is Babylon.
a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They'll devour the young of your livestock, the crops of your land, until you're destroyed. They'll leave you no grain, new wine or olive oil, nor any calves of your herds or lambs of your flocks until you're ruined. They'll lay siege to all the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. Because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of the womb.
Wow.
This literally happened.
Yes.
And I think it's 2 Kings 6.
Yeah, it
is. Okay? The flesh of the sons and daughters of the Lord your God has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his own brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children, and he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children that he is eating. It will be all he has left because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of all your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her feet, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son or daughter, the afterbirth from her womb and the child she bears. For in her dire need, she intends to eat them. Secretly, because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your city. Skipping down to verse 64. Then the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread, both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening. In the evening you will say, if only it were the morning. Because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that your eyes will see. The Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey. That also happened literally. I said you should never make again. There you'll offer yourselves for a sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. Wow. So what do you notice that's similar and different about those two lists of blessings and curses? Josh?
The curses, I feel like he just kept going. You know, the blessings, they end a little early, but the curses...
Did you notice those curses kind of go on and on and on? Why do you think he did that? It just answer that question for yourself.
I think he wants us to fear him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other things you notice?
Go down that road.
Yeah. What else did you notice?
If you obey the Lord your God, he gives you the choice.
Right. The blessings were all if, then. Very good. Yeah. Look at those blessings. They're all if, then statements. If you do this, then the Lord your God will do that. Not hard to figure out. Not rocket science. Okay? Any other things y'all notice? Yes?
The repeat of, like, the head and tail. And
right. The pattern. Every single blessing he listed, every single one, the converse is in the curses. Oh, wait. I should have done it from there to there. The converse is in the curses, and then 100 others on top of that. So literally every, I think, I didn't check it super carefully. Very good insight. You guys, great group insight here. Every blessing was reversed in the curses. Right, any other? I have a list of my notes of insights. You guys basically hit them all already. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Which of these do you think they remembered? Let's say 5 years from then, or 25 years from now, which one did they remember? The curses. I'm sure they remember the blessing. I'm sure they remember both. I'm not saying they forgot the blessings. Now, what were their, after this very intense situation, what was everybody in that crowd saying to themselves? They're all saying, I'm going to obey the Lord my God. I do not want that to happen.
So obviously, the Israelites never ever fell into all these sins that he said that would bring on all these curses, right? No, they did. They did all those things. And guess what happened? Just read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, especially 1 and 2 Kings. Every single one of the curses that he pronounced here came on those people. It's kind of intense. Another thing I noticed, any other thoughts? Anybody who's going to raise their hand? It's one other thing on my list that I noticed. All right. That is, in these blessings and curses, these are very physical blessings. Not all the curses are physical, but the blessings are physical. And so, as you're reading these things and interpreting them from a Christian perspective, you might want to sort of change them into a New Testament way of saying the same thing. For example, much fruit of your womb. And Jaime is thinking, my womb? I don't know. All right. He's talking about being fruitful. You're going to see a lot of people get saved. You know, so, again, as you read these things, and there's similar passages in the New Testament, please spiritualize them, because I believe Jesus spiritualized them. Jesus did give a sort of blessings thing. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Right. Exactly. Verse 47, he reminds them, how did you end up in this bad place? Because you did not give thanks for the blessings he showered on you. Right? There's that thing. We need to acknowledge that. How many times does Moses remind us to be thankful for the big things, being called out of Egypt, and for the little things, like your clothes did not wear out? Both of those. And by the way, that section in verse 49 through 57, that's exactly what happened. Specifically, if you really want to look it up, I don't know, if you're kind of a glutton for punishment, you know, you could look it up in 2 Kings 6, 26 through 29, where they were literally fighting over the flesh of somebody who died because it got so bad when Samaria was sieged by the king, by the Assyrians. All right, so that's kind of not the best place to end a sermon, but that's where we're going to end. All right, however, next week is going to be like a super, super encouraging sermon, all right?
Come on.
Yes?
I was thinking about something in the New Testament, the Beatitudes.
Uh-huh, sure, blessings, exactly. So let's summarize what we had in this kind of unusual sermon today, which was sort of a hodgepodge instead of a really super well-organized, you know, point one, point two, point three. All right. That's kind of unusual sermon. That's because I'm just trying to go through Deuteronomy and cover the things I feel like I need to cover. Next week's sermon will be Deuteronomy 30. And it'll be really encouraging. I promise. All right. So point number one. We need to radically put away those idols and those things which we are well aware are going to tempt us to turn away from the living God. Smash them, burn them, tear them down. Number two, let's be a church family where it's not everybody does what they see fit. When the family meets, the members of that family are there. And when the family says we're going to go in this direction, we go in that direction. There's exceptions. There's always exceptions. We get that. You know, that's not, but let's not do everything as they see fit. Number three, be aware, especially for younger Christians who are not as well immersed in the scripture, be aware. Around town, on campus, people are going to come at you teaching false doctrines. And I'm not trying to make us be a doctrine correcting group. That's, no. But we're talking about this essential stuff. He says if somebody does miracles and praise the Lord and hallelujah, this person got healed and blah, blah, blah. But if they tell you to go to follow another God, don't listen to them. Okay? And this is on essential things like who God is, who Jesus is, what the church is and how we're saved. Ephesians 4:4-6 list of things that we need to be unified. Number four. Well, we read a really cool, awesome messianic prophecy. That was just a real encouraging thing, you know. Not a lot of challenge there, but that was really cool that God specifically said, there's going to be a prophet just like Moses. And how much is Jesus like Moses? And then next we saw maintain holiness, right? And again, don't be worried about, by the way, in my garden, I planted both cucumbers and tomatoes and zucchini and butternut squash. But I'm not repenting of that because it's not a sin. All right? So when you're reading these kind of weird passages, like, what's that? He's talking about being holy and separated apart. God has made us holy. He's saying, stay holy. Be careful who you date. Be careful who you form very close attachments with. And last of all, we're going to walk away, and are we going to be remembering those blessings or those curses? Let's do this. Let's remember the blessings, okay? But also be aware, because there's a reason that God made the curses like five times as long. Because we, as human beings, are stubborn, prideful people. And we need to fear the Lord. Somebody over here said, yeah, we need to fear the Lord. That's right. So, that's where we're going to be left with our sermon. And we're going to have a song right now.
Yes.
Okay. And it's going to be Hallelujah, What a Savior. That is a big Bible. That's why I need one.
Hello. This is the part of our service where we like to shift, to focus our thoughts, hearts, on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Amen. This is Hallelujah, What a Savior. Man, I always get stuck in that.
Man of sorrows, what a God who came.